nothing we've ever done has been like, shoo, you know. There's never been, and 3.5 or 4 years ago, we asked Jason Fried that at 37 Signals. Because he had office hours, and then we called him, and we said, like, what did you do to see that, like, spike? And he was like, there's never been a spike.
If you've dreamed about building your own product, you are in the right place. This week, the hilarious, talented, and honest Alan Branch joins us to talk about why he's leaving LessConf behind to focus on Less Accounting. Product People would not be possible without the support from the fine folks at Sprintly. If you're building software with a team of people and you want to make your development process more transparent for the whole company, Sprintly is for you. Now, anyone can check in and see what stage certain features are at. Founders and product managers can get the pulse of the whole company in one place. I want you to try Sprintly for free, www.sprint.ly. After your trial is over, use my coupon code PRODUCTPEOPLETV2013 for 10% off. If you've always wanted to write your own ebook, join myself, Sasha Grafe, Nathan Berry, and Paul Jarvis for a live hangout about self-publishing on August 26th, 2013. Go to www.selfpublishinghangout.com and you can sign up there. Hi, I'm Justin, and this is Product People, the podcast focused on great products and the people who make them. And this week, I'm joined by a man who builds amazing lamps, Alan Branch of Less Accounting and formerly of LessConf. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I like doing intros. They're kind of fun.
Sure. I thought you were going to do like wrestler. 6'4". Where are you at?
Maybe I'll do that next time. Hey, let's get a big question out of the way right away. Because a lot of people know you from LessConf. Mm-hmm. And I was just on your LessConf webpage today, and it says you're not doing LessConf anymore. Is that true?
Yeah, you can't. I wouldn't say forever, right? I don't like to talk in absolutes. But, yeah, we're not doing it for a while. A few years. It might happen one day. I don't know. Just kind of putting it on pause.
Yeah. And what was the thinking behind that? Why stop now?
Well, we do make money from it, and it's very hard to make money from a conference. It got to be too much. We're kind of at a spot. We have about 250 attendees each year, and this year it was 3 days of continuous adventure stuff. Like, we had a circus act come in from New York to just do like fire breathing and juggling whenever we wanted them to. We had a party at my house. I have a fairly large house with a yard. We had 250 people, actually about 300 when you count like staff and local people.
Yeah.
At my house, I had a party here where we had knife throwing lessons and a tightrope set up. A guy broke his leg.
Oh, man.
We had a hot tub. We had ping pong. I mean, we had local moonshine. We had pig roast. We had, we had marshmallow tasting. We had a bonfire.
This sounds amazing. Why would you stop this? This is such a good thing.
Yeah, it's so much fun, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a distraction from our product, Less Accounting. And so it's just kind of this fun little hobby that started taking over. Mm-hmm. And we still, we're still duking it out, right? There's no big pot. We have a nest egg of money, but we're not a funded company. We're still battling it out, for users and stuff. And LessConf is a big distraction.
Yeah.
And certainly you can make correlations of like, oh, well, the attendees are your potential market. And it just got to be a thing where it was just, we had to cut something off, and that was it. And as much as we like doing it, it's just within a distraction and for now.
So. Yeah. And that is one of those things people say is like, if you run this event, you might get customers out of it. But was that the case for you? Like, did you ever get customers out of it?
Not really. I mean, it's a nice event to go to, and you meet a lot of people, and you do a lot of goodwill and introductions, and you can make some notoriety. But notoriety in the startup community doesn't translate to users in the real business community. I mean, our users are plumbers, surf schools, bakeries. They don't come to LessConf.
Yeah.
And so notoriety and fame and all that bullshit just feels really good when you're doing it. And yeah. Les Compton was this really nice ego stroke.
Yeah.
People coming to your party and paying to come and sponsors giving you money to be at your party. And you're there and you're just everyone, though. And it's this really big ego stroke. Then you come off of Les Comp and it's just like you're back at home working. Yeah. And your friends aren't around. Pembroke City is a little tiny town.
Yeah.
And there's not a big startup community here at all.
Yeah.
There's like six people that do Ruby. So it's a big letdown. So it's this roller coaster of emotions. And it's very emotional playing a conference because you'll have friends that can't go and for various reasons, so they don't come. And then you're at the conference as the host and you're being pulled. You want to see as many people as you can because that's part of your job is to introduce people and talk to people. And your friends are there. And they're like, dude, come hang out. And you're like, I can't. I got to talk to all these other people that I don't know.
Yeah.
And so it's a really weird – it's like being a bride at a wedding. And everyone wants to talk to you, and you always feel like you're going to let someone down by not talking to them. And, you know, like this person is going to be like, I came all the way there, and I didn't get to talk to Alan, and he was rude to me, or he said something offhanded to me. In a moment of frustration or something, you know, because I'm at this event. I'm there not as an attendee, but as an organizer. So I'm making sure, like, food shows up. And so it's like a bride planning her own wedding and then attending the wedding and having to talk to everybody. You lose sleep too, so it's stressful.
Do you think it's worth it? Because a lot of people in our industry want kind of to get notoriety. They want to be known for things.
Sure.
Do you think that's still something worth pursuing, or do you think people get distracted by it? Is that kind of a false hope?
Yeah, I mean, like notoriety feels really good, and I'm by no means like famous, but I have a few people that know the things that we've done. We've been around, and only because we've been around for a long time in the web world at least.
Yeah.
It's a disease, and it sucks you in, and like, you know, just looking at Instagram likes and who liked this and who tweeted this out, and you know, and it's not good. And you certainly need notoriety to get your product out. And there's a hard balance between notoriety and marketing. It kind of gets mixed together too much.
Yeah.
Especially if you're building a product for developers.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like your skill set too. It's a really weird sort of thing. But it is a distraction, at least for us. Startups are given not our target market. One, because most startups aren't running their business like a business.
Yeah.
They're just building their product. They don't really care about accounting, as opposed to someone who has a restaurant who has to really watch their margins and hit their budgets and report their taxes. Startups and especially tech startups are just not really known for good accounting.
Yeah, they're not thinking about that. Well, I want to know how you and Steve, because you guys are known for being kind of nuts, like kind of wild, crazy guys.
Sure.
How the heck did you get into accounting software?
Yeah. So the backstory to Less Everything is in 2006, I was a designer building this and doing Rails stuff with a few contract developers.
Okay.
And I had a project go awry in fall 2006. And Steve had contacted me previously because I had SEO'd for Ruby on Rails in Jacksonville, Florida, which was – I was living in Birmingham. My sister lived in Jacksonville. So SEO brought us together. and so he contacted me, and he was like $50 an hour, which for me was like a lot of money. That was a ton of money. And so I brought him on to kind of save the project, and he did. I was doing fixed bid. He was doing hourly, but he would push back on features that were out of scope because the client was pushing me around and say, you know, I'm charging for this time, and it's not in scope. You didn't get paid for this. And so he was the first developer that actually looked after my well-being and my best interest. And I was like, wow, this guy, he had good UI sense and was just had some nice wisdom about him. And then by the end of that year, I started throwing around ideas. Software as a service to me was a new idea. I didn't really know anything about it. I started throwing around ideas to different developers I've been working with of, hey, what about a social network to connect golfing buddies?
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
And I had an idea for an expense tracker, and so did Steve. And he was like, I kind of like this idea. And I was like, yeah, my uncle's a CPA. He was like, my mom's a CPA. And we just started kind of building that in like the end of 2006. And then 2007, we formed Less Everything together and got married, basically, is what you'd call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And been building it ever since. So.
Huh. And so what are the challenges with running a business like that? Because there is kind of there's some wisdom. Some people say you only should build a product for people in your niche or your kind of world. And, you know, how do you kind of – how have you built this business for, you know, for people that need accounting software, small businesses?
Yeah, so small business is a gigantic thing, right? It's any business under 500 employees. But most people's bookkeeping is fairly close. People think – everyone thinks their problems are like unique snowflakes.
Yeah.
But it really is, and it's all – revenue streams or projects, and they all can use tags. It's fairly, I mean, when you get into people that have like reselling inventory and holding onto inventory and depreciating it, that's when you start getting a little bit weird. Accrual accounting is a little bit weird. The problem we face is taking this sort of simple feature set and explaining it for all the different situations people have, and then all the different sort of preconceived notions of what bookkeeping is, the baggage that QuickBooks gives you, because QuickBooks kind of teaches you this weird terminology or traditional accounting terminology that we try to unteach people. That's really what the problem that we've always faced in the past few years. And then getting in the door of accountants who use QuickBooks and have been using QuickBooks for 20 years.
Yeah.
And they make money off of QuickBooks consulting and the problems that QuickBooks generates. So it's kind of this weird sort of cycle. But we are building a tool for ourselves. That's really the it started out as an expense tracker, and we moved into invoicing and proposals because that's what we needed. And at the time, we had never heard of FreshBooks.
Yeah.
And I don't know of any other invoicing apps. I'm sure there were hundreds, but I had never heard of any.
Yeah.
So we really just built features as we need them. As less everything has grown from Steve and I paying ourselves $3,000 a month each, which is what we were paying ourselves, nothing.
Yeah.
To multiple millions of dollars, and our accountants will say, you need to move to QuickBooks because you've outgrown less accounting. We'll say, what do you mean? And they'll say, well, you need to add depreciation or a balance sheet. We'll say, well, tell us how we can do that, or tell us what do you mean, and we'll figure it out. And so we built it from the ground up, as opposed to MBA trying to figure out how to build software.
Yeah. And so it's kind of scaled with you guys as you've grown as a business.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a few different places I want to go here. The first is you mentioned that you guys were paying each other $3,000 a month. Where did that money come from while you're building this product?
Oh, okay. So we did that. So 2007 when we formed, I had a few leftover clients, and Steve had a couple clients that needed continuing work. And we had more clients coming in the chute, but we said, what can we afford to pay ourselves? Because I was making like $60,000 a year or something as a freelancer, basically. And I don't even remember what he was making. But we both kind of took pay cuts to form less everything because we wanted to build up a nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
But we never really took off time to work on less accounting. It was always – I mean, immediately when we formed less everything, we started getting work. The first year of less everything we did, 2007, we did like $600,000 in client work. Wow. And built less accounting. And so we were doing client work and staying up late at night. To work on less accounting or hiring people to work on less accounting. And we did that for years. Less accounting, I would say it was 2009 before it was making like $5,000 a month.
Okay.
So it was years of work.
Yeah.
That's the misconception, is like it's just going to start raining money on you.
Yeah.
In reality, we are the cockroach in the accounting industry. Like, we just won't – you can't kill us. You know, like, there's been plenty of competition come and go. New invoicing apps and little accounting app things pop up, and they just can't outlast us. They'll burn through money. They'll get bored. They won't see a hockey stick. They'll switch to something else. And we just keep trudging along.
Yeah.
Did
you guys have families at that point when you were starting this thing? And how did you do that? $3,000 a month? Like, how'd you explain that to your spouse? How'd you explain that to your kids?
So I had very low expenses. I had my son was born December 2006. So I had one kid, kind of brand new child, sparkly and brand and shiny.
Yeah.
Brand new child. Steve had three. He's got two daughters and a son, and his son is like 3 months younger than my son. But I would say we only pay ourselves $3,000 a month for a few months.
Yeah.
We ramped it pretty quick. When you're making $600,000 or you're bringing in $600,000 a year in consulting work, you end up start. You know, we went from $3,000 to $4,000 to $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month. And we made really good money for a few years when we did. We were really pushing hard on the consultancy, and Les Accounting kind of drug its feet. 2009, 2010, it kind of drug its feet a little bit because we were busy doing consulting work, making a bunch of money.
Is that a good way to do it when you're starting? Like,
oh man, I would. No, no. It's hard to juggle all those things.
Yeah.
Like nothing that I've done, I would say you should do it the way we did it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, you know, I think that's maybe most business owners kind of put on this front of they have it all figured out and they have the right path. And I think like, oh man, this has been freaking so hard. You should do whatever the opposite of what I did, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's probably easier than what I did.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in 2008, the end of 2008, we had $260,000 in cash left over after the end of the year as consultant. And what we should have done is fired everybody. And it's been like, and I talked to Steve, we had a conversation. We said we could fire everybody. And you and I just work on Les Accounting for a full year. That would support us.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you're drunk on the money.
Yeah,
and you're drunk on some of the notoriety, and you know, hunkering down and kind of going quiet for a year it's not really fun to your ego. You know, building this consultancy and everyone talking about you and releasing open source stuff is fun.
Yeah,
and so we kept consulting through those years, and we basically worked. I think it was 2009. Steve worked like 2,500 hours in that year. And, I mean, literally 6 days a week. 7 days a week, we were working all night. And it would be, I remember at one point apologizing because I was going to bed at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And just being like, I got to go to bed, dude. I'm tired. And Steve was like, I'm going to step in another few hours. And we just worked our brains out. And, you know, our relationships with our wives suffered. And our kids were young, thankfully.
Yeah.
Our health suffered. You know, we weren't exercising. It was just working constantly.
Yeah.
And drinking lots of coffee.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend that. I would recommend cutting all your expenses down as little as possible, doing as much consulting work as you possibly can at the highest rate you can, and going just full blown on the product when you have enough cash.
Yeah.
And enough cash is like 3 months. 3 months worth of cash.
Do you think that advice is the same for someone with a family as opposed to someone who's single and no dependents? And like, is it a lot easier to cut down on your expenses if you don't have kids and a mortgage?
Oh, certainly. Kids certainly make it harder. And a wife makes it harder. Well, if you have kids and no wife, that's harder. But a wife. But you know what I'm saying. But a wife and kids certainly. And he's a single parent now. Him and his wife got divorced. And it's hard. You know, he has to go pick kids from school and stuff. And like things, parent-teacher conferences. You know, with me, I'm like, yeah, just go. I'm not going to. It's certainly having kids is harder. I mean, having kids is harder, especially when they get older and they can like look at you and say like, you work too much. My kid the other day said, Daddy, you work too much, but you can take Father's Day off. But he doesn't know, like, you know, he was a baby when I was working 70 hours a week. I only work like 45 hours a week at the most now.
So does having a partner help with all that?
I think so. Steve likes it to make my ideas better or tell me they're terrible. He also, and that's the kind of the common, what everyone's going to tell you. It's like, oh, your business partner will tell you when your ideas are bad. But they'll also give you the courage to be more of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Steve and I first got together, I thought, like, I told him, I was like, we should get polo shirts with our names embroidered on, like, the logo embroidered on the polo shirts. He was like, no, dude, that's terrible. I like the way you're doing this other thing over here. And he encouraged me to be more of myself.
Yeah.
I had an art teacher in high school that kind of did that, too. And so they're there to, like, make you more courageous to go after the big ideas or the bigger ideas or the crazier ideas. And pop your ego when they need to too.
Yeah.
So with business partners, I think I would be successful with Steve or, you know, whatever that means, whatever success means, without Steve, but he's certainly, I'm way better with him than I am without him.
Yeah. And how'd you know he was the right guy?
How'd you know your wife was the right one? It was like the those like love bells.
Yeah.
No, you know, he looked after my best interest in the projects. He just had a lot of, I would bring him a problem or something, and I thought I had the answer to it. And he would say, even as a contractor, he was like, no, you should do it this way. And I'd be like, oh, what? And then his kind of personality and patience for certain things kind of meld well with mine. Like, he could read contracts and stuff, and I'm like, oh, God. I don't want to read anything like that. And he likes it.
Yeah.
And so our skill sets, you know, he's a developer. I'm more of a designer, more of marketing, and we kind of share UI sensibilities. It just seemed to kind of be the right thing. Never in this business have I ever been like, you know, like master plan kind of thing. It's always just kind of felt right kind of thing. Like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. It kind of makes sense for the business, but kind of just feels right.
Yeah.
And so it just felt right to work with Steve.
Yeah. Now, so who is Less Accounting for? Like, what do you have a typical kind of customer that,
sure,
that signs up and is like, this is our customer?
Sure. So usually they're service-based people. So they send invoices. Usually they have more than 3 employees or more than 3 contractors. Usually people that have like less than $250,000 in revenue, they don't really care about their books, or they use a spreadsheet or something. They just can't justify the time, any time to do accounting, or bookkeeping. And then that's about it, really. I mean, we're mostly service providers, marketing people, design firms, stuff like that. But you know, we're moving over to more general public people. Like, I talked to a guy the other day. He was like, I repair moorings on sailboats, which are like boat anchors.
Yeah.
Permanent boat anchors. And I was like, moorings? And there's like surf schools and stuff. So we're kind of breaking out of this sort of tech sort of bubble.
Why are you doing that? Why break out of the tech bubble? Why go outside of that circle?
It's just naturally gone that way. We don't really spend any money on marketing. But it just kind of trickled that way. You know, that's just where the organic marketing has gone.
Huh.
Those are better clients because they're not on the internet all the time. Like, they don't, you know, they're not going to like, they don't know every option out there. You know, as sad as it sounds, an ignorant user is your best customer.
Yeah.
Because they're not trying out every application. They're not like outlining every one of them or telling you where your API is wrong or bad or, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love when plumbers sign up because plumbers don't go out, you know, looking for new accounting software every 3 months.
That's right.
You know, so.
So how do you reach plumbers? Like, what's been an effective way of you doing some marketing and reaching people? I mean, I know you said you don't do marketing, but
yeah.
how do you reach those people?
Marketing, right? We don't do paid advertising.
Yeah.
We do a little bit of retargeting stuff, but not, I mean, $100 a week kind of stuff, nothing major. Just being really good to accountants has been good for us.
Okay.
By being good to accountants, I mean when I see an accountant sign up, we'll email them. We'll, hey, can we show you the, can we screen check? Can we do a demo of the app for you? It takes 5 minutes. Really, it takes 15. We just tell them it takes 5. And so talking to them and just being nice to them. And then even because people are always needing accountant referrals. Yeah. If there's an accountant that I like, I'll refer a customer lead to them. And then instantly they're loyal to us for a long time.
Yeah.
So just being good to accountants. Accountants are the gatekeeper to business owners in a lot of circumstances. And just, you know, we've been around for 6 years. And so 6 years worth of links, right?
Yeah.
Less Accounting has steadily grown. I mean, and by grown, I mean 10 to 15% every year. Not like month over month, year by year.
Yeah.
Which to a funded startup is like death.
Yeah.
But for us, it's like, you know, we run ourselves like a normal business. And normal businesses, 10% growth is really good.
Yeah.
And so just being around for that long has built up links. It's built up people know. People, you know, when authors write an article on accounting software, we're somehow found from various links and Googling. And
gotcha, yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So. Is there, like, do you do a lot of content marketing? Like, has there been some content marketing that's really worked for you?
We just started doing content marketing here in the past 6 months. I'm not you got to do content marketing. We blogged for a lot of years on lesseverything.com and built up that sort of traffic.
Yeah.
That didn't help Less Accounting.
Yeah.
And so we started blogging under Less Accounting. It's blog about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And so the most kind of content marketing I will do is I will take a blog post that I'm thinking about writing and just doing some keyword research on it. Or I will look through support tickets to see what people are asking about that are not about features but about how they're running their business. And I'll write a blog post based off of our experiences that I've already had as a consultant, and I'll write a blog post about that. We've done ebooks and things like that too, but none of it was like, oh, we should launch this book that'll give us a lot of traffic because of these keywords. It was never like that. It was, what do we know about? We know about relationships with our wives and our business partners. Let's write an ebook about that because that's interesting.
Yeah.
And people ask us about that. It's never like some master plan. And so so I don't write blog posts that are like 10 ways to improve your business.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
9 ways, you know, Shawshank Redemption is like being a business owner.
I want to see that post now.
Yeah.
Deliver on that one.
I don't write any of that kind of stuff. I don't know. I like writing short little blog posts, something actionable.
And do you actually get conversions on like blog posts? Do you get conversions on the book? Like, do you actually get customers from those things?
So we wrote a little primer that was like a primer called Bookkeeping for Service-Based Businesses in 5 Minutes or something. And we have a coupon code at the back of that ebook. And that converts pretty well. Pretty well, I mean, a user once a week, once every 2 weeks. Nothing like, there's nothing we've ever done has been like, shoo, you know.
Yeah.
There's never been, and 3.5 or 4 years ago, we asked Jason Fried that at 37 Signals.
Yeah.
Because he had office hours, and we called him, and we said, like, what did you do to see that, like, spike? And he was like, there's never been a spike.
Yeah.
And so you just do stuff, and just putting stuff out there, and you look for a little return on investment, but a lot of times you can't track it. You know, what we look for return is, did the revenue go up at all? And did support tickets go down or up? You know, that's how I look for UI kind of cues, if we're doing things better or worse.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much been, there's never been one thing. It's never been like, you got to do retargeting. You got to do content development. You got to do SEO.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like you do the best you can and put out things, put out lots and lots of things for 6 years.
Yeah. And just keep going.
And just keep doing it. Yeah.
Well, this would be a good time because, you know, people daydream about building their own businesses all the time. What are the kind of most common misconceptions you see people have when they're saying, I want to build my own thing. I'm going to be my own boss. What are some things that keep coming up over and over again that are just bullshit?
Well, with non-tech people, they don't realize they're building. You'll have a business owner that's building a piece of software that doesn't realize they're now a software company. That's from non-tech people. Tech people, they don't have the patience. You know, it takes a long-ass time to build revenue. Bad habits have a lot of inertia. So if you're like, oh, we're this thing that's replacing a bad habit, whatever that is. Bad habits have a lot of inertia. Bad software has a lot of inertia. People use QuickBooks even when they know there's better options.
Yeah.
Right? Everything has a lot of inertia. So it takes – And people will sign up for Less Accounting and they'll delete their account. They'll come back the next year. So it's everything's so long tail and so slow, and people don't have patience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people don't realize, how much patience you have to have to get revenue.
How long did it take for you guys to become profitable?
I don't really know how to answer that because, you know, we never really lived off of Less Accounting's revenue until like 2011.
Okay, so this is pretty new.
Well, we had, you know, 11 people in the company.
Mm-hmm.
So there at one point there was, you know, for the past 5 years there was always someone working on a consulting project.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's one person or the whole team, we just kind of slowly worked people out of the consultancy and still and And even now, you know, because we're an unfunded company and there's no big, huge money bag laying around, there's a cash pad, but there's not like a money bag of just like, let's spend money.
Yeah.
If someone came to us and said, you know, $300 an hour to do some UI work for a month, I would say, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because I would love that little injection of cash to do some other little things with, right?
I think that's actually kind of the dirty secret of a lot of SaaS businesses is, because I talked to a lot of people and kind of like off camera, even some funded startups say, you know, I can't tell anyone about this, but we're doing consulting work on the side. We're trying to, you know, hustle as much as we can to keep money in the door. And a lot of people don't know that. They have this idea that we're just going to build this app and it's going to magically support us for the rest of our lives.
Well, and when you build an app, that actually increases your leads because people are signing up for it. Josh Pickford at PopSurvey and Temper.io, good friend of ours, awesome, smart dude, he got his last client lead because he was signing up for PopSurvey, and they just started chatting via customer support.
Yeah.
And also, if you use that product right in the sales process, that'll actually help sell your consultancy over other consultancies.
Yeah.
Because you'll say, hey, you want me to build a web app for you while I'm doing it for myself already, and why would you pick another consultancy that's not doing it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Are they too scared to do it? Or, you know, why would you trust them, you know? So, and you can say things like, well, we've done things with marketing. We've done things with customer support. We know how to build a customer support team. Does this other consultancy know how to do that? Can they help you with that?
Yeah.
So breaking away from consultancy is really hard too, because the money is really good and it's fun. And also think about this. You know, we worked on Lessig County for 6 years. That's a long road. And so having that break of consultancy work, a new client, a fresh code base, simple features is nice.
Yeah.
A lot of people that call themselves SaaS businesses are still doing consulting work, and we would too. If a client came or a lead came in and said, "Hey, I got $300 an hour or something," we would do it.
You do it,
yeah.
So what's next for Lessig County? What are you guys? What's kind of like the next big challenge you've got to overcome?
Ooh. There's no major. There's a couple integrations we're trying to work on. There's no big major sort of like rush to get out. The past few months have been kind of interesting for us. We've always tried to like compare ourselves and go after like Xero. Xero is a funded company, right? They're Xero.com, Xero.com. They are a publicly traded company in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it took them up until last year to finally have more users than we did. And we were just like, wow, we gotta beat them. We gotta do better than them. And then about May, we just said, you know what? We don't have to own the market, and we're not going to, and we can't, because they've spent $170 million. Right? That's kind of ridiculous for us.
Yeah,
we're like 11 people. Like
$170 million will take out a lot of plumbers, man.
They have 500 employees, right? And so it's like we can't. You know, my happiness has always been based off of my expectation of myself, and that trickles down to my expectation of other people in the company and just everything. And so, you know, we're a profitable SaaS company, and we can carve out our little niche. And just trudge along, and this is great.
Yeah.
But we've kind of had to adjust our level of expectation in the past few months. And because it's really disheartening to kind of compare yourself to companies that are just burning money.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they might burn themselves out. Who knows what their life, but when people say, why should I use you guys over Xero or Wave Accounting is another one.
Yeah.
I can only say that we're profitable and we'll be here in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know how long they'll be here. Maybe they'll be here forever. They can be here forever too. I don't need the whole market to make a living and be happy.
Yeah.
So it's lowering the bar and just kind of being realistic with what success is.
Yeah. So why don't we end on this? What with all this stuff we talked about, because business is hard, building stuff is hard, maintaining stuff is hard, customer support is hard. What keeps you going? Why do you keep doing this?
Well, being a business owner, or doing less accounting, or what do you mean?
Yeah, what keeps you going doing less accounting? Why do you keep working on it? What's the drives you to get out of bed and work on that product?
Sure. Well, there are things that, like, we haven't delivered the solution that we want to deliver, and partially because the aim has changed from features to that just do bookkeeping that are more like collaborational features between accountants and business owners and business partners. But we're not satisfied with less accounting yet. So there are features that we're implementing and want to implement. There's still a roadmap that we're really excited about. And I like connecting to business owners, as cheesy as that sounds. Like the vast majority, like I'll help out with customer support, especially on Fridays and Mondays. And like, the vast majority of it, it's fun. It's nice. They're nice people. And then they see like the co-founder respond, and they're like, nice. They don't realize like how small of a company we are.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, it's so cool. And like, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And you know, I'm glad you like our software. That's cool that you like our software.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's a genuine like appreciation. Like we had a person cancel their account, yesterday that had been with us for 5 years. And like, I was like, fuck, 5 years. That's 5 years.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, seriously, like I don't marginalize, like, your money is the reason why I'm at home in my gym shorts.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's, and I, we run this company, like, I get to do whatever I want. Like, not just like, I don't get to like delete databases and like, just, you know, it's not like do whatever I want doesn't mean like being retarded.
Yeah.
Let's bleep that out. Being stupid or foolish.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when I do customer support, I'll say like, you know, someone will say like, hey, can you help me? And I'll say like, oh, I'm fueled with coffee. I'm ready to help you. Let's do it. Or, you know, just something just like,
yeah,
you know, and it's fun just being ourselves, right? We put new art every week on the login page of Less Accounting of a new artist that we find on the internet. And so it's not like I'm like doing the same thing every day. Or like I have a great job. I have a really great job. Like, my family owns car washes, which is not a great job. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You clean out dirty cars all day and
yeah.
In the heat. We have really great jobs. Our bar success is no longer way up here. It's right here. We're still kind of going towards it. There are things we want to accomplish, but I have a great job. So every day I wake up and I'm like, I'm excited about it. I'm not going to say every day because that's bullshit. No one's ever excited about every day I work.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of days I wake up and I'm like, oh, there's this thing I didn't do yesterday that I'm really excited about doing today.
Yeah.
And not every day and everything we do is peaches and cream. But I have a great job. I do what I do what I feel is right.
Yeah.
And it's a good time.
Right on, man. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. This was fun. We're going to have to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Right on. Where can people find you on the web?
Oh, on the web, lessaccounting.com.
Definitely.
Twitter, Alan Branch. I make lamps. You mentioned that in the intro.
Yeah.
That's my hobby. You know, pixels are not really that fun. There's no legacy in pixels. So building lamps is sort of what I do for fun.
And what's the website for that?
MassalinaDrive.com. There's only like two lamps in there now. I'm kind of sold out. But
right on,
it's,
man.
It's a fun hobby. It's a fun hobby.
Cool. Well, thanks again.
Good talking to you.
Thanks again to Alan for coming on the show. I really appreciated his honest insight into what it really takes to run a business and build a product. You can follow me on Twitter at MIJustin. You can follow the show on Twitter as well at ProductPeopleTV. You can also email us at productpeople@bizbox.ca. And please check out our sponsors, Sprintly, www.sprint.ly, and join Sasha Grafe, Nathan Berry, Paul Jarvis, and myself for a live hangout about self-publishing on August 26th, 2013, www.selfpublishinghangout.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.